You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Proverbs. Oh, Proverbs 4. You know, I'm just cornbread and beans tonight. Stay with me. Nothing necessarily spectacular. I think sometimes we're looking for the spectacular, we miss the supernatural. Supernaturals happen all the time. We just miss it. You know, and sometimes even in messages and teaching and preaching, you know, we get real excited about some supernatural things if we're teaching on the gifts of the Spirit, the baptism, the Holy Ghost, or miracles, signs, wonders. But really, it's all spiritual and it's all supernatural. And it's all good and it's all necessary. I believe you ought to take that in, and you ought to have a steady diet of miracles, signs, and wonders. No doubt about it. We believe in that. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit and so on and so forth, and preach and teach that. But also know you need to eat your vegetables. Hello. There needs to be a balance between the two. In other words, you need both. You don't need just the Spirit. You need also the Word. But if you just have the Word without the Spirit, you've got a dry message. If you have the Spirit without the Word, you've got an exciting message, but nothing's going to hold. You can hold on to. Because the dust settles, we shout and holler and scream, and that's all well and good, and I love it. But you've got to hold on to something Monday morning when you go to work. Are you with me? And so on and so forth. But now, if you just have the Word might be called the direction. The Spirit would be called the dynamic or the power of God. And you need both. If you have the Word, you'll dry. If you have the Spirit alone, you'll blow up. But if you have both of them together, you'll grow up. You need the dynamic of the Spirit and the direction of the Word. Or else how would you know what the Spirit is doing is right or not? The Word gives us the foundation and the rule and the plumb line to gauge, to govern, to discern whether a prophecy is of the Lord or whether a dream is of the Lord, a vision is of the Lord, or a gift is scriptural, as it were. Amen. So you need both up. Amen. And I love this. I fall back on this a lot. And just the power of the Word and in our life, having the Word in our life. You know, it's not my will. It's God's will. It's not what I want. It's what God wants. It's not, although I may want something and God promises it, He doesn't give it to me because I want it. He gives it to me because He said it. And so if I can find it in the Word, it takes it out of the realm of selfishness, self-centeredness, arrogance, or just desire. You know, some people say, well, I hate to go with God with my desires. Well, if it so happens that your desires are in line with His desires, that's a good thing. Go to Him with them if they're in line with His desires. The question is, how would you know that? Well, you get in the Word and you find that out. And you find out God says He wants this in your life and that in your life. And He promises this and promises that. So although it's a need, that's good. That's fine. That's well. And it's a desire. That's okay too. But see, that's not enough. It has to be His will. And how would you know that? Well, you know that by His Word. Amen. So you get in His Word and you find these things out. Some people say, well, I think it's selfish to ask for this or ask for that. Well, if God says it, if God promises it, if God tells us to do it, then we should do it. Amen? Amen. It's Jesus that said, give us this day our daily bread. It's Jesus that said, these signs shall follow them that believe, in my name they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And of course, all through the New Testament, we have principles of healing and provision and so on and so forth. Proverbs 4, found it? Proverbs is just a tremendous book. It's practical. It's where the rubber meets the road, as it were. It's full of little short statements, little pithy statements, you know, about things. It's full of instruction. I love it. I mean, if you get into it, it'll straighten you out. It'll straighten out your confession. It'll straighten out your living. It talks about holy living. Everybody say holy living. Holy living. Thank God for holy living. I believe in living right. Are you with me? Amen. And God believes in living right, and we are an example. Yeah. You say, well, you know, I don't believe we ought to live our life trying to impress anybody. Well, it's not impressing someone. It's representing someone. Yeah. Okay, chew on that a while. So Proverbs talks a lot about that. It's a lot of contrast. It talks about righteousness and wickedness and foolish and wise and so on and so forth. And here, the 20th verse of the 4th chapter, real familiar if you're a Bible student and been reading your Bible, says, my son, give attention to my words. Everybody say, give attention. Give attention. We might say, listen up in these texts. You know? That means, to what? To God's Word. There's a lot of words, a lot of voices, a lot of visual impact and media that we have today. But God's saying, listen to my words. There's a lot we can listen to, but we need to be listening to what God says. well, so-and-so said this, and so-and-so said that, and I just think this, and I just think that, and I saw on TV the other day this, and I heard this, and I read that the other day. But see, really, the question is, what does God say? And as far as what everybody says, that's all well and good, and some of it could be right, and some of it could be wrong. I don't know what everybody says. There's a lot of voices in the world. But one thing for sure, God's always right. And we should be paying attention to His words and giving attention to His words. Here we are starting a new year. I don't necessarily believe in resolutions. I'm not against them. I think it's fine if you keep them. I think you set yourself up in most cases. But anyway, we should be trying to do right and examine ourselves every day. And if you start this year over and examine yourself and keep your resolutions, go right ahead. I'm not against that. But I think that, we ought to daily examine ourselves, whether it be in the faith or not, and daily meditate on the Word and keep our focus. That's the question, see, is our focus. The devil wants to get you off focus. That's the bottom line. He just wants to get you off the Word, whatever it takes, whether a holiday will do that, or whether getting together with your relatives will do it, or whether moving to another city will do it, or get a new job will do it. Sometimes we lose our focus. And see, we need to keep our focus here. And our focus always should be, of course, God's Word. And we all ought to always give attention to it. My son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. I'm reminded of a real familiar scripture. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So, if you want your faith to build and grow, your trust in God, your faith in God and faith in His Word to grow, then obviously you need to hear His Word. Actually, if you break that verse down, Romans 10:17, I was talking to Pastor Don Murphy the other day on the phone, and we were just kicking that around. It says, so then faith cometh by hearing. In other words, what that part of the verse is telling us is the means for faith to come is through hearing. Mm-hmm. But it's really hearing. It's not just something being heard. It's really hearing. The kind of hearing he's talking about that brings faith is the next part of the verse. And hearing by the Word of God. Amen. Now, I know we connect the two. Without the Word, you can't have faith. Without hearing the Word, you can't have faith. But without hearing the Word, you don't get the kind of hearing that brings faith. Amen. I can see that just going right over. I'll have to do that again. Sometimes we're hearing the Word and not getting it. But if we'll keep hearing the Word, it'll produce the kind of hearing that faith comes by. We'll fine-tune our hearing, as it were. Sometimes you have to hear the Word over and over and over. First time you hear it, you don't get it. But hearing the Word, listening to the Word, will develop your hearing. Does that make sense? It's almost like listening to music, as it were. You listen to a song, you don't catch everything in the song. And then you don't catch all the different instruments. Then you don't catch all the words. But you keep hearing it, and it fine-tunes and develops your hearing. Then you start hearing other things in that song. The more you hear it, the more you get used to that song. You're getting used to the things you heard the first time. Now you start picking up things you didn't hear the first time. Hello? Sometimes you don't pick up all the words. My girls are always accusing me of making up words when I'm singing a song. And I do. That's simply because I don't hear all the words. But anyway, I just need to listen to it more, I guess, evidently. But if we'll listen to the Word, and this is what he's saying here, attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. See, it's going to change us. It's going to produce something in us, the kind of hearing that brings faith. I love that. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word, the kind of hearing that produces faith, comes from the Word. A lot of you are even confessing. I like to say this, that sometimes we're confessing the Word of God, and we really don't have it in us yet, but we know it's true. In a general sense, I believe the whole Bible. How about you? But I also know that specifically I don't have everything working in my life. But now when I read across the promise, I know it's true. I may be battling some doubts, and I really hadn't maybe studied it as I should, but I assent to the fact that it's true. So I start confessing the Word of God concerning my situation or need or whatever the case may be. And you know what? I may not necessarily be confessing faith. I may be confessing unto faith. But the point is, if I keep confessing God's Word, the power of it and the confessing of it and the hearing of it will produce faith. And that at some point, I will start believing. Hello? But if you never start the process, if you never turn on the song, you're never going to pick up all the other things that you don't get the first time. You know, a lot of, you got to hear it over and over to get it anyway. That's what repetition is all about. That's what school is all about. That's what most courses that you take, they go over and over some simple things. But the point is, so you can get it. And by repetition, you get it. Over and over, you remind yourself of it, and it starts coming alive. Well, the Bible's that way. You didn't get it all the first time you read the Bible. You didn't get it all the first year you served God. But as you keep going and you keep listening and you keep hearing it, it'll start coming alive. I'm always amazed, and I've joked about this, we'll have a guest minister come through, and he'll minister on something or some subject, and then somebody will get up and just lit their fuse. I mean, I'm telling you what, it just flipped their switch or whatever. They got it. They never heard that before in their life. And I'm sitting there thinking, I just taught a series on that last year. And they were in every service, you know. And, of course, you know, if you have an ego, that'll hurt you. That'll hurt you. Because you'll think they don't appreciate you, you know, poor old me. But no, I know better. I understand the principle. I've even had Brenda had something come alive, a guest minister would come that I've ministered on, and she didn't get it when I preached it. But you know what? If I hadn't preached it, they wouldn't have got it when the minister came. Because you have to hear some things over and over. And so far from getting offended by that, every pastor ought to rejoice in the fact that I've been teaching enough to where they picked it up. To where they got it. See, revelation, when revelation comes, you recognize it. Isn't that what that's what we say. Oh, wow, I see that. And the reason you see that, and the reason it is revealed and it's a revelation, the light shines on it, is because you've been looking at it. You've been around it enough to where now it's taken form. And you see it. But if you hadn't been around it, and you haven't heard it enough, you wouldn't recognize it. It wouldn't burn and come alive. You wouldn't say, well, of course. And all the examples and all the scriptures you've heard before start coming together at jails. And then you're jailing like a felon. You know how that commercial goes. You got it. You got it. But you recognized it because you had been looking at it. In other words, you've been in the fog, but you're getting closer and things become clearer by approach. And so now you're close enough to where it's distinct. You've seen it at a distance, but you kept heading toward it through hearing it, through studying it or whatever. And you keep getting closer to it and closer to it, and all of a sudden you see it. And that's when the revelation hits. So you don't get revelation hearing something one time. Hello. Oh, come on now. I mean, it's usually accumulation of things that come together that God uses and burns in you. Revelation comes from meditation. It comes from meditating on the Word day and night. Staying in the Word day and night. Continuing in the Word. If you continue in my Word, Jesus said, then you'll know the truth. Then you'll know the truth, and truth makes you free. That continuance, that steadfastness, that's a great... great message for this time of year. Let's just stay the course here. Let's stay steadfast. Let's run our race. Let's don't get off center here. Let's keep our focus here. Amen. As always, keep Jesus in the forefront. Whatever we do, our major is Jesus. Our major is His Word. Our major is serving Him and raising our children in the admonition, the nurture of the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Nothing will deter that. Nothing will change that. It doesn't matter how old I get. Are you with me? It doesn't matter what goes on in my life. I have a focus. I have a fixation. I'm staying the course. Yeah, amen. Amen. And it gets better. That's the thing about it. It gets better. So he says here, goodness, y'all getting something out of this? I'm about ready to go to the next verse. My son, give attention to my words. That's your choice, my will, your will. That's focus. That's fixation. That's a gaze. That's a... you know, you have to give attention. You have to tend to it. It doesn't just happen. You know, you're involved in the process. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. You have to shut out different voices. You have to shut out things that distract and take away from the Word. You have to make a choice. You're going to hear what God has to say. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Don't let things rob you from it. Everybody all be involved in church and involved in reading your Bible and serving God on a regular basis. Amen. That's your choice. Do not, you do that. See, that's your choice. It's your choice to stay in the Word. It's your choice to keep it in front of your eyes. See, I think that's why we need to develop good habits. A lot of people that just live in sin have just developed some bad habits. Stay with me. They're raised that way. They live that way. Now that you are born again and you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, you know what you have to do? You have to discipline yourself and you have to develop good habits. Now, and I've said this over and over. You know, I used to before I got saved over 30 years ago. I've been saved over 30 years. But before I got saved, I was wild. I was, you know, I was just lost and going to hell. And just as an example, when I would stump my toe or, you know, hit my head or something, I'd cuss. Now, that's wrong. That's not right. It's not okay to do that. Don't start making excuses and say, well, you know, it's okay. Everybody does. God understands. Well, yeah, God does understand. He understands it's sin. He understands it's wrong. You need to repent of it. Yeah. Are you with me? But you say, well, what do I do? You know, you can still do that as a Christian. Yeah. You can still be saved and do that. But see, you ought to have enough sense to recognize that's wrong and start developing habits, good habits, to replace those bad ones. So I started really working on that when I got saved. I mean, because I still, every once in a while, stump my toe. I did that after I got saved. I did that after I got full of the Holy Ghost. Oh, yeah. I've been praying in tongues in the middle of the night and stump my toe. Terrible thing. Happens to you even after you're saved. So what you have to do is train yourself to do something else when you stump your toe or hit your head or whatever. And right now, I'm just going, hallelujah, glory to God, oh, thank you, Jesus. Usually something like, thank you, Jesus, I'm healed, you know, from that, whatever it is. But now it's a habit. Did you know now it's just instinct? I mean, babies don't just grow up without any influence and cuss when they hit their toe. They learn that habit. And usually they do it in English. If they're in the United States of America, are you with me? They learn that too. So you can unlearn, hello, and stop bad habits by replacing them with good ones.
Amen.
You can do it. You can do it if you'll decide to do it. If you'll choose to do it. Now, there's all kinds of things you could make that work on. I mean, goodness. But what I'm saying is, let's do some godly things here. I believe that's why God says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as a manner some is. Even more so as you see the day approaching. He wants us to be in the habit of getting together and worshiping Him. And that is a habit. Most people don't just quit going to church or quit serving God all of a sudden overnight, get up and say, we're going to stop. Most people kind of fade away.
Yeah.
Most people get out of the habit. Good people love God. They just get out of the habit. And see, we've got to develop good habits of doing what God says. And the Bible's filled with repetition and reminding and going over and over. Hello. And so, train yourself to talk right.
Yeah.
When something bad goes wrong, do you talk negative all the time? Or do you say, well, you know what, we're going to believe God.
Yeah.
You can develop a habit of just saying, I'm always, you know, always believing. Man, they're always praying about everything. They're always believing God about something. Well, that's a whole lot better than just believing for the worse. But there again, it's a habit too. And so he's talking about here of a lifestyle. Proverbs really deals with our life, where the rubber meets the road, how we live every day. And he says, my son, to give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them, see? Keep them in the midst of your heart. Meditate on them. Think about them. Look at them. Read them. Talk about them. Write them out on little cards. Put them on plaques. Put them on bumper sticks, whatever. You know, just keep the word before you. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Do not let them. Because if you do nothing, they will depart. Make no mistake about it. We have an adversary of the devil who walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And he has one thing in mind, and that is to get God's word out of you and away from you and push you away from God. Are you with me? That's what his greatest power is, deception. Think about it. Deception. He deceives. He deals with words. He likes to keep us away from the truth. His power is deception. God's power is the truth. Are you with me? Of course, you know, the Holy Ghost, the truth of God's word, and so on. So it says, keep them in the midst of your heart, for they, if I say they, that's God's word, the words that you attend to, the words you incline your ear to, the words that you don't let depart from your eyes, the words that you keep and guard in the midst of your heart, those words are life to those who find them. Hallelujah. I didn't put the carrot on the stick. God did. He's the one that said, I'll bless you if you do this. He's the one that says, this is good for you. I'll reward you. I'll help you. In fact, if you go after me and my word, you will go. You'll find life. I love that. In fact, if you go after this world, you will lose this world and heaven too. If you go after heaven, you'll get heaven and earth thrown in free. If you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things will be added to you. Priority. Focus. Jesus. Amen. He said, well, I need healing. No, you need a healer. He said, well, I need peace. Well, you need a peace giver. His name's Jesus. You just need Him. And if you go after Him, you'll get all that, see? Because He is all that. He knows we need it. He knows we're... God's not against you having things. He's against things having you. He's not against you being blessed. He's against greed and lust. But God is the one who said He would bless us if we serve Him. I didn't say... He said that. He said if we go after His Word will bring life to us. Oh, hallelujah. You know, Jesus said, and I quoted, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things will be added to you. Now, Buddha wouldn't have said it that way. Buddha would have said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, nothing else matters. But we're not Buddhists, we're Christians.
Amen.
That Eastern philosophy has crept into the church in a lot of ways, and it's kept us poor and impoverished. Now, I believe there's imbalance, and there's radical. You can be radical on anything, extreme on anything. But the balance is, of course, the fact that God does want to bless us. And the promises about financial blessings are staggering, if you want to be honest about it and read them for yourself. But just that alone, what Jesus said, and He was talking about clothing, He's talking about food, He's talking about drink. He said, after these all the Gentiles do seek, He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. He says, for your heavenly Father knows you have need of these things.
Amen.
But He was interested in priority. Focus. Amen? I believe the Bible is very plain. You can have all the money in the world as long as it doesn't have you. God's interested in basically three things in your life: your love, your trust, and your service. The love of money is the root of all evil, not the having of it, because God wants your love. And He says, as far as service is concerned, you can't serve God and riches. But you can serve God and have riches. And you can love God and have riches. And you can trust God and have riches. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, y'all not shouting much tonight. I'm preaching this on my own, I see. 21st verse. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Them words, God's words. You know, I talk to people all the time, and they want to go over the problem and talk about the problem. And we have to find out what the problem is before we can fix it. But, you know, once we're broken, as it were, and once we've got the problems identified, then we need to fix the problem. We need to go for the answer. So at some point, you have to shift your focus from the pain, shift your focus from the need, shift your focus from the problem, and shift it to the answer. And the answer is Jesus. Amen? And He is His Word, what He says. That's what's going to put you over. Going over and over the problem is not going to help you. Rehashing the trash and rehearsing the curse is not going to solve the problem. What you have to do is reverse the curse. Turn your attention around. You say, well, I'm hurting. Well, of course you are. And we mourn with those that mourn, weep with those that weep. But at some point, we've got to get up off the ground. We've got to face life with the Word of God. We've got to pray and believe God. And we've got to fight life through.
Amen.
You know, Brother Osteen used to always say, my pastor, John Osteen, used to always say, and he had this poem that he quoted. He said, great it is to dream the dream when you stand in youth by the starry stream. But a greater thing is to fight life through and say in the end that the dream is true. God's calling us to fight the good fight of faith. He's calling us to stand up and win. There is a Canaan land waiting for us, and I think many times we're on the wrong side of the Jordan. We're going to have to get up and cross the Jordan and take those cities one by one. And we can do it with God's help, with His Word, with His name, the name of Jesus, with the Holy Ghost. Are you with me? We can do it, but we're going to have to fight. We're going to have to make some decisions in our life and make some determinations in our life that we're going to serve God. We're going to go over, not under. Hallelujah. And we're going to be a man of God and a woman of God, whatever the case may be. And I'm not going to go with the flow of the world.
Amen.
Are you with me? Good news is you're not alone in this. God will help you. I love it. God will always help you serve Him. He will always help you go over. He'll always help you keep His Word. If you want to sin, you want to live in sin or live unfulfilled, as it were, you're on your own. But if you want to come to Jesus, He'll help you every step of the way. You make one step, He'll make two. You draw near to Him, He'll draw near to you.
Amen.
And you can boldly stand up and say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm more than a conqueror through Him that loved me.
That's right.
See, I mean, it just goes, the promises are just staggering along those lines. If you'll make the decision, that's what you have to do. You have to decide that you're going to serve God. That you're going to go for this. And I don't know what the devil's told you. I don't know what you've heard all your life. I don't know what your mom and your daddy told you. I hope you had a good mom and a daddy. But if they told you you couldn't make it and you didn't amount to anything, you don't count, they lied to you. And that's all there is to it. God bless them and pray for them and lift them up. But let me tell you, God has something else to say about that.
Amen.
He has a destiny for you. He has a future for you. Every one of us have a calling and a destiny in our life. And every one of us count.
Amen.
Every one of us. But we've got to make some choices. Are you with me? And if we'll do that, God will help us. He'll help us. This is a manual of instructions. It's a manual for living. God instructs us and tells us how to live for Him and how to, you know, how to be a witness and be a light and how to raise our children, how to be a good husband, a good wife, and on and on and on and on. But you and I have to make those decisions. If we will decide, God will help us. Woo. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might.
Amen.
What you lack, He takes up the slack. He's got plenty of power. Amen. So He says this, for they, 22nd verse, God's word, are life to those who find them. There's a key word too. Everybody say, find them.
Find them.
In other words, you go looking for them. You dig in there. You search. You find them. You do it. Your choice. Your responsibility. I can't find it for you. I can stir you and I can shake you and I can maybe motivate, as it were. But you are individually responsible for your faith. You're individually responsible for your service to God and for your daily devotion, as it were, praying or seeking Him or serving Him. But the good news is, you can do it. Amen? If God put it in here, you can do it. If He said it, it's attainable. It's reachable. You say, well, I've just never been that way. Well, start today. Shut the door of the past and look the future in the eye and go forward.
Amen.
And make the change. Make the adjustment. Do what you got to do. God will help you. He'll help you. Well, I just never thought of myself that way. Well, you've been thinking wrong. Start thinking right. Amen? How do I think right? Get in the Word. Find out what God says. See, ultimately, you're not who you think you are, what everybody else says. You are who God says you are. Most of us live unfulfilled lives, but it's our fault. We need to get in the Word. If we'll come to Jesus, He'll help us. Oh, I know the Marine says, be all you can be. No, this is where you be all you can be, right here, in the Word, in God's Word. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
He'll change you. Amen. He'll empower you. He'll embolden you. The righteous are bold as a lion. Amen. For they, God's words, are life to those who find Him and health to all their flesh. Oh, glory. Healing. I believe that in a supernatural, literal sense, that healing comes from God's Word. No question. You get in the Word of God, you'll get healed of diseases.
Amen.
But in another sense, too, you'll get strength. You'll get healing. So just wore out and tired and can't ever do anything for God or for anything or anybody, all of a sudden you get stamina, you get sustenance, you get strength from the Word. Oh, hallelujah. Not just the supernatural healing. Sure, that's there. That's what He's talking about specifically, but I think it's even bigger than that. Health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life, or spring the issues of life. What's coming out of the inside of you is determining your future and your destiny. That's why God talks so much about you getting in His Word and getting His Word in you. Now, we're not talking about mind over matter. And we're not talking about the power of the human spirit. We're talking about the power of God working in your life. God's Word working in your life. Because there's a fine line, and I always want to make that distinction. People say things, well, that sounds like Christian science. No, this is Christian sense. This is not Christian science. This is Christian sense. This is giving God all the glory. This is giving God all the praise and all the honor. Not as a force or a power or a mind, but as a person, our Father, God.
Amen.
Are you with me? And we didn't all of a sudden learn enough about Him to become one with Him. No, no. You were either born again by accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, or you were lost and going to hell without Jesus as Lord and Savior. I didn't get saved by mental assent. I got saved by believing on the work of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and His shed blood. Now, that's the difference between Christianity and, say, some cultish mind science teaching. And there's some similarities, sure. Some people say, well, that's just positive confession. Well, there's nothing wrong with positive confession if it's biblical. Are you with me? People love to associate, you know. Oh, that sounds just like a New Age, or that sounds just like this. Well, that's not the question. The question is it in the Scripture? Are we quoting the Word? If you want to know the truth, they copied this. They just left God out of it. And trying to make it a human thing, or just a mental thing, and it's more than that. I'm talking two Christians. Are you with me? Those that believe that Jesus is Lord and Savior, who are washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is a mandate from heaven. This is how we're supposed to live, and we give all the glory and honor to Him. And that's the whole point. If we'll do this, He'll help us do it.
Amen.
You couldn't do it without Him. But thank God you're not without Him. Amen. Amen. But you got to develop some habits. You got to make some decisions. You got to make some choices to trust Him, to believe Him, to act on His Word. Act it out, see? Walk it out. Walk it out when you don't feel like it. Walk it out when it doesn't look like it's going to work. Walk it out, act it out, talk it out, because God said it.
Amen.
Amen? And God cannot lie. I tell you, God will He'll move heaven and earth to get on your behalf if you'll trust Him.
Yep.
Praise God. And it doesn't all happen overnight. We're talking about a lifestyle. We're talking about living for Him. You're going to get better at anything that you do. You'll get better at serving God. You'll get better at trusting God. Hello? Does it work every time? Well, it works every time, but we don't always work it every time. Sure, it works every time. Have I gotten every one of my prayers answered? No, I have not. But every one I've prayed, believing God, stand on the Word, I have. And if I didn't get an answer according to God's Word, if there was a promise there, then somewhere along the line I missed it. That's okay. I realize I'm not perfect. I repented, asked God to forgive me, and started over again. I don't beat myself over the head about it. Do I sound mean? I don't mean to be mean tonight. But we've got to get this monkey off God's back and get it back on ours where it belongs. Well, actually, we need to get it off our back too. But let's quit pointing that finger at God. God does not. He's not haphazard. And He's not bipolar. I mean, He doesn't get up one day and do one thing, another day do another thing. He is the same all the time. You know, some people say, well, you never know what the Lord's going to do. Oh, no, no, it's you we're concerned about. We're the ones that are flaky. Not God. He's the same all the time. And He's good. Are you with me? And what I'm saying is, I'm not preaching some Superman doctrine. I'm saying we're all in this boat and we all do miss it and we should repent and ask God to forgive us. Don't beat yourself over the head about it. If you have missed it, that's fine. That's okay. Are you with me? That's okay. But see, the only other alternative, if it wasn't you, it was God. And if it was God, then we got God with schizophrenia. And the Bible does not teach a God like that. God's the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. He's the Lord God, changing not. Hallelujah. So, we found the enemy, and he's us. So, let's straighten up. I hope you understand when you come to church, you get blessed, and you get instruction. Sometimes you get rebuked.
That's right.
But that's okay, too. I need that. I mean, I'll take the correction. Amen? I'll take the instruction. And one of y'all nodded your head to that, too, so that's good. So he says, man, I'm coming to a close. I really am trying to close this thing. I started there when I started the sermon. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are spring the issues of life. Now listen to all this instruction he's given us. Watch your heart. Guard your heart. Watch what's in there. It's like ground. You put something in there, it's going to grow. You put God's Word in there, it's going to grow. And it's pretty obvious what's in there by what comes out of there. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what you generally say, as I said earlier, what you say as second nature or instinctively is what you've been putting in you on a regular basis. What comes out easily, naturally, is what's in there. And that'll tell you where you are, see? And you can stop and say, well, you know what? I need to quit saying that. Good decision. Now you're going to have to do something to make it happen. Why are you saying that? Because you're hearing that all the time. You need to start hearing something else. You need to spend a little more time listening to what God says and then train yourself to say what God says.
Amen?
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm just trying to help you. This is good stuff. So he says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth. Wow. Put perverse lips far from you. Quit talking the wrong way. Are you with me? Don't do that. Well, it's okay, no big deal. Well, I guess it is a big deal. It's your life, your marriage, your family, your body, your kids. I guess it is a big deal. Yeah. Well, I'm just talking. Well, you're just prophesying. You're just declaring. You're just decreeing. You're just agreeing. You're just directing your life. That's all, no big deal. Woo! I get to, you know, thank God we don't get everything we say. I thank God we don't. I mean, because every time you come in the house and you say, my feet are killing me. Can you imagine them just grabbing a gun and shooting you right there, your toes, killing you? I mean, you know. But the point is, let me think about this moment. The point is, why do you say that? Quit saying that. You're killing me. You're just killing me. You know, we say things like that all the time. And we ought to stop. Not that I think that that's going to happen per se, but it's just, I don't believe that. Why do we talk so negatively? We don't even go down to the green light. It's the red light. You give directions, it's always a red light. Go down here to the red light. When they have sales at a store, what do? They kill the competition. They slash the prices. It's always something negative. It seems like it's just, we're tuned into that. You know, you get something correct, you hit it dead on the head. Dead center. Why isn't it live center? I'm just curious. I just think the flow of the world's that way, you know, and we have to watch ourselves because we're just so negative. Man, even when we're happy, I died laughing. We can't even be happy without being negative. You know what I mean? I just laughed till I died. I just died laughing, you know. Well, anyway. So, well, that's not right, is it? I mean, it really wouldn't be right to say that all the time. I know we're kidding, and I don't mean anything by it. But see, we do it so often. It's a habit. It's just a habit. Life center. Amen? Oh, man, I'll tell you, I just died till I just was alive. I was so alive with laughter, you know. And it sounds funny when we say it, and it shouldn't sound funny. But it does, because we're just not used to hearing that much positive life. We're tuned into death. We're just not tuned in to life.
Amen.
Hello. So put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips from you. Now, I'm not saying go out and correct everybody that does that, okay? I can see this going on. We'd be a bunch of Pharisees around here pulling people out in the parking lot, stoning them for saying their feet or killing them. No, you just work on your mouth and everybody else work on theirs. Amen. But you'll get used to believing. See, what happens, you create an atmosphere or just a lifestyle of trusting God. I mean, I'm always thinking God's going to come through. Wow, new concept. Instead of God's not going to come through. I'm always thinking we're going to get through this. Instead, we're going to go under. We're going to lose everything we've got. No, we're not going to lose everything we've got. My God supplies all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. See, when the thought comes of going under, that scripture comes because I'm used to saying that. I've trained myself to say that, see. And you say, well, that's all just mechanical. Well, no, it's not mechanical. Well, it is in one sense, but it's mechanical in the right direction. It's training me to do what God says to do. God said to say that. He said to believe that. He said to act that way and talk that way. Yeah, there's some mechanics involved. The whole Bible, in that sense, would be mechanics in the sense that it tells us what to do. But there is God's behind it, though. See? There's a right way and a wrong way, and He's telling us mechanically what the right way is and how to do it. Amen. The path to get on the road to take. And so, yeah, there's mechanics involved. There's principles involved. God's a God of principles. He's not haphazard. He's not a God of confusion or disorder. The Bible says He's a God of order and of peace. So He has a way of doing things. Amen. And all we're doing is lining up with the way He does things. That He's telling us to do it. So put away from you a deceitful mouth, put perverse lips far from you. God said that. That's good, isn't it? Man, this is good teaching. I'm loving it. I'm going to get this tape when I get through this. Yeah. It says, let your eyes look straight ahead. See there, there's focus. There's priority. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Don't be distracted. Don't get distracted from our goal or the the course we're on, the track we're on, the race we're running. Stay the course. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
Keep our focus. Let's stay on track here. Let's strengthen the things that remain. A lot's shaken in life, but God's never shaken. His Word's never shaken. So stay with the stuff that stays with you. That's God's Word. Stay on the rock of doing God's Word. And the wind may blow and the rains may come and the waves may beat on your house, but when it's all over, you will still be standing, my brother and sister. Sure, there's attacks and sure, there's crisis. We live in a fallen, broken world. But you know what? You may be walking through the valley of the shadow of death, but you are walking through because the Lord is with you and His rod and His staff comfort you. You're not going to have to die in that valley. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it'll not come nigh you because you made the Lord, even the Most High, your habitation. Amen? Crisis may come, but we get through it. The difference between a Christian and a lost person, I believe, is simply almost the difference between a live body and a dead body. It's not that something doesn't happen to us as Christians, but see, we can recover, and many times the world can't recover from things. A dead body, you can work on it, you can do surgery on it, you can put medicine in it, it will not respond. There's no life in there. A live body responds to medication and to surgery. Do you know that? Now, that's just a natural thing. But when crisis hits us as believers, as Christians, you know what? We can recover. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I believe we can prevent a lot of it too. But even if it happens, we can still recover because we're alive. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We're alive. We can get through it. We can get over it.
Yep.
Oh, hallelujah. Okay, I'm going to finish the chapter up and we're going to go home. How about that? You don't get through, you just quit. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you, ponder the path of your feet. Where are you going? Here's a new year. We've got a new year coming up. Where are you going this year? Well, I'll tell you where you're going. You're going where you decide to go. If you decide to go with God's Word, you've got a bright future. So bright you've got to wear shades. Amen? If you make that decision, that determination. You're headed, I often say this, you're headed where your head is. Need to renew your mind. Keep your mind full of the Word of God because you're headed where your head is.
Amen.
Be not conformed to this world, Romans 12:2 says, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Wouldn't you like to prove the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God in your life? How in the world do you ever do that? Well, here's how you do it. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God.
Amen.
Oh, man, makes a difference to get the Word in you, doesn't it? So it says, ponder the path of your feet, let all your ways be established. You can establish your marriage. You can establish your family. You can establish your business. You can establish the ministry that you're in, or you can establish the church you're in, whatever. How do you do that? By making the decision to do that. By serving God and saying the right things and getting in the Word and attending to His Word and inclining your ear to His saying, keeping it in the midst of your heart and so on and so forth. This determines our destiny and our future. Hallelujah. And our future can be God's will, what God wants, what God desires, if we so choose. If we so choose, He will help us fulfill the will of God in our lives.
Amen.
He will fulfill and perfect that thing that concerns us.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Live holy and live right.
Amen.
Mm-mm-mm.